And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. A historically massive wildfire is threatening four villages on the Yukon River. On Sunday, the fire was within 3.5 miles of one of those villages, and many people had evacuated. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports residents who chose to stay are pitching in to support the efforts to keep their community from burning.
Pamela Tai is standing over the stove in the home she shares with 11 family members. They've all chosen to stay, despite the fire's proximity to the village. Outside the kitchen window, smoke blankets the Yukon and Andrefsky rivers. Tai is making meatballs.
Make my balls. Balls of glory. Hamburger balls and gravy. That's what's for dinner over rice.
She's been cooking all day. Earlier, it was a big pot of goulash. She donated that to the firefighters for dinner.
I make it with love, honey, with love. So when they eat, they fill themselves up with lots of love.
Many women like Tai have been volunteering their efforts to cook for the 130 firefighters in town, lugging meals to a makeshift distribution center each evening. From there, the food gets sent to firefighters' camps on the outskirts of town. Out on the tundra, they've been digging wide lines of defense in the surrounding area to try to prevent the fire from reaching town. Ty's 17-year-old son, Cameron, has been helping too, along with other men in the community. They've been clearing brush away from critical structures so that if the fire does reach town, the buildings won't burn. They had the older men cut down trees and the younger ones drag them down to the river. Back at the house, Cameron said doing this work gave him mixed feelings.
It was really good to see most of the community and most of the men that live here work together. It was fun, but it is kind of scary. And we're being really cautious, and we at least did a little something for our community. And I just pray and hope that nothing gets any worse than this.
The fire has more than doubled in size over the past few days. Climate specialist Rick Toman says that over 120,000 acres, this is the biggest wildfire the region has ever seen, and the second largest tundra fire in Alaska in over 40 years. Toman says a warming climate has contributed to this fire's fast spread. Over the past century, the YK Delta has warmed 3 times as quickly as the lower 48. Local officials estimate about half the community chose to leave on Thursday and Friday. Evacuation flights were offered to elders and vulnerable people for the first 2 days. Others left by boats bound for downriver villages or fish camps. So far, evacuations have been optional, but that could change. Elder Mike Joe Sr. is Cameron Tai's grandfather and meatball cook Pamela Tai's father. His recliner is parked in front of the TV.
Estimates on the fire size have more than doubled since yesterday.
He's watching St. Mary's on local TV news. He says he wants the whole family to stay as long as possible because he thinks that leaving would be hard on the kids. But he says it wasn't an easy decision. He gestures out the window.
I don't think nobody wants to see smoke and loneliness out there to not see your neighbors and your friends out there.
He says he's prepared to evacuate if the fire reaches his backyard.
We got the boats all ready to go and all our grub, everything.
Most of the family's possessions are packed in their boat at the harbor. Their food is next to the front door, staged in 5-gallon plastic buckets whose handles they can grab easily in case they need to run out the door. Their plan would be to boat across the Yukon River and camp out until it's safe to return. In St. Mary's, I'm Olivia Eberts.
A Sitka seafood processor abruptly shut down last week, laying off about 40 people. Sitka Salmon Shares helped pioneer the direct-to-consumer seafood market in Alaska, but the surge in growth the company experienced during the pandemic could not be sustained in the recovery. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Sitka Salmon Shares is not going out of business, but the decision to close its flagship plant represents a retooling of the company's original business model to survive in the recovery economy. Nationwide brands like Peloton and Zoom experienced a similar problem. Growth during the pandemic doesn't continue during the recovery. The demand for quality, home-delivered seafood rose dramatically at the start of the pandemic and dropped off just as suddenly near its end.
We were expecting to be able to continue to kind of hold the same level of sales as last year. and we just that never materialized.
Commercial troller Marsh Skeel co-founded Sitka Salmon Shares in 2011, along with a professor of food systems from Knox College, Nick Mink. Mink left the company last year, leaving Skeel the largest shareholder. About 40 people worked at the Sitka plant, although staff had very short notice about the closure, 3 days. Skeel says that most of the line crew were reemployed quickly at Sitka's other major processors. Human resources personnel were retained to help managers find new work. Skeel said it wasn't practical to relocate people to the company's operations in the lower 48. He says he's feeling the loss especially hard because he hired many Salmon Shares staff himself.
You know, we understood that it sucks to lose your job, and, you know, they took one on a limb to come work for us, and we just wanted to have them land as quickly and gracefully as possible. So we tried to do what we could there.
KCAW reached out to several mid-level staff for their reaction to the plant closure and heard mostly conciliatory feelings on the issue. Sitka Fleet Manager Lauren Mitchell wrote, saying, "The suddenness of the plant closure hit everyone pretty hard, but I am proud to have been part of the Salmon Shares team for the last 2 seasons. It was an honor to work with such a dedicated group of fishermen who really care about the quality of their fish. Overall, it was great while it lasted." Director of Operations Jacob Finson wrote, "I am very grateful for the time I spent working with my team of processors, managers, and fisherfolk, and hope that we all land softly." For consumers, the closure of the Sitka plant won't mean significant change. The company's retail footprint in the lower 48 was growing even before the pandemic. And as Alaskan processors go, the Sitka facility was not very large. Skeel says the company's growth was possible through partnerships with other processors willing to package fish under the Salmon Shares brand. And that's not going away.
All of our fish didn't come from our plant here in Sitka. It came from all around Alaska, and we built really great relationships with people that we trust to deliver quality and really to take good care of their fleet. So we're excited to kind of continue to benefit them.
Fresher fish from Alaska direct to your dinner plate thanks to a new and growing Galesburg company. Here's News 8's Jonathan Katz.
Near Sitka, Alaska, fishing salmon out of
Sitka Salmon Shares began as something of a Cinderella story, as this 2013 clip from a WQAD television news report in the Quad Cities shows. The direct-to-consumer model was innovative then. Marsh Skeel says the model now is about resiliency. Sitka Salmon Shares built a marketplace of loyal customers who are really into fish with a story, he says, where they know where it comes from. With the closure of its Sitka plant, Salmon Shares is trimming its fixed costs and shifting more production out of house. But Skeel is still looking ahead to the next part of the story.
I still believe in the company and what we can be in the future, and I still believe this marketplace can be beneficial for the Sitka fleet and Sitka processors and the region and the state and, yeah, the fisheries in general. I think this could be a positive, but, yeah, right now it doesn't feel great.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
An Anchorage Superior Court judge is considering when and if it is legal for a state legislator to ban a constituent from their Facebook page. Last week, the judge heard oral arguments in a lawsuit brought by an Eagle River woman against Alaska Senator Laura Reinbold. After hearing arguments, the judge took the case under advisement with the decision to be issued soon. Bobby McDowell, the plaintiff, is asking for an injunction against Reinbold, plus financial damages and attorney fees. Last year, McDowell commented disparagingly on several of Reinbold's Facebook posts. Reinbold deleted several of those comments and on April 29th of last year banned her from commenting altogether for 24 hours. McDowell and her attorneys say that amounts to a violation of her free speech rights because Reinbold was acting as a member of the state government in a public forum and discriminated against McDowell because of her viewpoint. The verdict could determine how Alaska state legislators conduct themselves on the internet in the future, and it's already having an effect on Alaska politics. In a video published on Facebook, Reinbold said she will not be seeking re-election. She cited the demands of the lawsuit against her and said she'd spent more than $60,000 on her defense. The lawsuit is one of several across the country that is attempting to determine whether an elected official's actions on social media can violate a constituent's constitutional right to free speech and association. It was another damp and gray day here in southeast Alaska. Juneau saw almost an inch of rain in the last 24 hours, and the clouds are keeping temperatures down low in the 50s. It's looking like it will dry out, though, slowly over the next few days. Should be mostly clear by late Wednesday or early Thursday with highs in the 70s. Tonight will be rainy with lows in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers and highs in the upper 50s.